हरे सहज सहज भुनक्तु सह वीर्यंकर वावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Benefiting the brahmanas thus by making over to him his kind and winning great renown, the hero returned to the capital. Bowing under all the elders and congratulated by everyone, Partha at last approached Yudhishthira and addressing him said, Give me leave, O Lord, to observe the vow I took. In beholding thee sitting with Draupadi, I have violated the rule established by ourselves. I shall therefore go into the woods, for this is even our understanding. Then Yudhishthira, suddenly hearing those painful words, became afflicted with grief, and said in an agitated voice, Why? A little while after, King Yudhishthira, in grief, said unto his brother Dhananjaya of curly hair, who never departed from his vows these words, O sinless one, if I am an authority worthy of regard, listen to what I say. O hero, full well do I know the reason why thou hadst entered my chamber and didst what thou regardest to be an act disagreeable to me, but there is no displeasure in my mind. The young brother may, without fault, enter the chamber where the elder brother sitteth with his wife. It is only the elder brother that acts against the rules of propriety by entering the room when the younger brother sitteth with his wife. Therefore, O thou of mighty arms, desist from thy purpose. Do what I say, thy virtue hath sustained no diminution. Thou hast not disregarded me. Because Arjuna is really worried about means one, they have the vow, but the second is the disregarding his elder brother. But in here he's pointing out that the elder brother is not disturbed, right? Because, means in other words, the parents are always happy to see the children. Right, so at any time they can come, and then that's the most important thing because that's what brings them together. Right, the parents are brought together by the children. Right, it's said that the father is the upper principle, the mother is the lower principle, and the cause of their coming together is for children. Right, that's the Upanishad. So then, therefore, then the children is the it means if they're together, but that combination has resulted in the child. Right, so that means they're being together, then when the child is there, that's a further step. Does that make sense? So the children can always come because they're actually a higher principle. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then, but when a man is with his wife, he doesn't like to be disturbed. Does that make sense? So other than the children, no one else should disturb. Does that make sense? Because they're the only ones that are a continuation of that closeness. Does that make sense? So anybody else, it would be wrong for them to disturb. Therefore, the elder brother will not disturb the younger brother because no one likes to be disturbed at that time. Does that make sense? But the younger brother can go in where the older brother is because then the elder brother is like the father, you know, and his wife like the mother to the younger brother. Does that make sense? Right, so that's just the way. In other words, you don't disturb anybody when they're alone with their wife. That's the main principle. Right, so the only exception is the children may go in and bother. Right, and that's the only exception. That makes sense? Yeah. Arjuna, hearing this, replied, "I have heard even from thee that quibbling is not permitted in the discharge of duty. I cannot waver from truth. Truth is my weapon." Yeah. So quibbling would be that, you know, oh, but maybe this, or trying to find a way out, trying to find a loophole, right? So in the performance of your duty, you don't look for loopholes. You look for proper application, but you don't look for loopholes, right? Does that make sense? Because loophole means you're trying to get out of your duty. But in this consideration, we're not trying to get out of the duty. We're simply trying to, figure out what's the best way to perform the duty. Vaishampayana continued, right? Obtaining then the king's permission, Arjuna prepared himself for a forest life, and he went to the forest to live there for 12 years. Because right? Truth is his weapon means that's his power. If he's truthful, he'll be powerful. Right? So then someone who is truthful then cannot be defeated. Right? So that was Arjuna's prowess. Section 206. Vaishampayana said, when that spreader of the renown of Kuru's race, the strong-armed Arjuna, set out for the forest, Brahmanas, conversant with the Vedas, walked behind that illustrious hero to a certain distance. Followed by Brahmanas conversant with the Vedas and their branches, devoted to the contemplation of the Supreme Spirit, by persons skilled in music, ascetics devoted to the deity and reciters of Purana, by narrators of sacred stories, devotees leading celibate lives, by vanaprastas, brahmanas sweetly reciting celestial histories, and by various other classes of persons of sweet speeches. Arjuna journeyed like Indra, followed by the Maruts. Okay. So what we see is that here he's going out, he's going to the forest, but actually his life there will be complete because he has every kind of good association. So he can hear the philosophy, he can hear the histories, he can hear the celestial histories, right? He can hear nice, you know, properly performed music. So everything that is would be part of the, you know, refinement and upliftment of the human being is going with him even into the forest, right? And this is their attempt. So they're following behind. Also, so they will not disturb, because he's going to the forest. They just want to come along, right? Like that. Otherwise, they would be kept close. Like that. O thou of Bharata's race, that bull amongst the Bharatas, saw as he journeyed many delightful and picturesque forests, lakes, rivers, seas, provinces, and waters. So seas means he traveled to seas, so he traveled to a lot of places, right? So you can see, you know, the Bay of Bengal, you can see the Indian Ocean, like at least those two, and how much he traveled, what other seas he saw, whether he saw the Caspian Sea or this and that. But at length, on arriving at the source of the Ganges, the mighty hero thought of settling there. Listen now, O Janamejaya, to a wonderful feat which that foremost of the sons of Pandu, of high soul, did while living there. When that son of Kunti, O Bharata, and the Brahmanas who had followed him took up their residence in that region, the latter performed innumerable Agnihotras. O King, in consequence of those learned vow-observing illustrious Brahmins who never deviated from the right path, daily establishing and igniting with mantras fires for their sacrifices on the bank of the sacred stream after the performance of their ablutions. So, what is significant of igniting with mantras the fires for sacrifice?
Brahmanas were so pure that just by chanting mantras, the Agni would
appear. Yes, right. Prabhupada mentioned the third generation will be able to start fire by mantra. Right? So, like that. We'll be waiting. Like that. Okay. But remember, that means it's based on purity. That means the third generation is pure. That means then it's been, how you say, arrived at by pure methods and consciousness. Pouring oblations of clarified butter, otherwise you get 1.5, 2, 2.5, 2¾. No, but we want first generation, second generation, third generation. Right? Pouring oblations of clarified butter into the same, and worshipping those fires with offerings of flowers, that region itself, where the Ganges entered the plains, became exceedingly beautiful. Okay, now so before we were saying the source of the Ganges, and so we said Gangotri, but now it's given some other indication that we know it's not Gangotri.
Rishikesh?
Rishikesh. Okay, so it says where it enters the plains. any other Haridwar. Yeah, because that's the Dwar, Haridwar. So Hari is the root. It means Rishikesh is the holy place, but Haridwar is where it actually comes to the plane. So then you can say, for India, for where people live, then that's the entrance, that's the source. You understand? But otherwise, you can say that the Gangotri is the source. But actually, we know is that its source would be back at Manasarova, where it lands on Kailash there, where Shiva is. But that we know then comes from the heavenly planets, and then that we know comes from that hole in the universe poked by Vamadev. Right? You know, understand? So depending upon where your perspective, it has different sources. So like that.
Here the source is the pump.
Yes, the pump. Yes. The Ganges comes from the pump. Yeah, Prabhupada said I think within 3 kilometers of the Ganga it's Ganga water. Like that. Means we're following the rule. Those who live next to the Ganges bathe in a tube well. One day that bull amongst the Pandavas, while residing in that region in the midst of those Brahmanas, descended as usual into the Ganges to perform his ablutions. After his ablutions had been over, and after he had offered oblations of water unto his deceased ancestors, he was about to get up from the stream to perform his sacrificial rites before the fire, when the mighty hero, O king, was dragged into the bottom of the water by Ulupi, the daughter of the king of the Nagas, urged by the god of desire. And what is ablution? Yes.
Taking bath,
you know, like purification. Like that. It so happened that the son of Pandu was carried into the beautiful mansion of Kauravya, the king of the Nagas. Arjuna saw there a sacrificial fire ignited for himself. Beholding that fire, Dhananjaya, the son of Kunti, performed his sacrificial rites with devotion. Agni was much gratified with Arjuna for the fearlessness with which that hero had poured libations into his manifest form. Why fearlessness?
Wasn't worried at what happened, he just peacefully did the yajna.
Yeah, yeah. It means he was there, took a bath in the Ganga's next thing, he's dragged to the bottom of the Ganga into the king of the Nagas, into the king's palace, and then there's a yajna there waiting for him, because he was about to do his yajna. So he just sat down, performed his thing, his sacrifice, and so then Agni is very okay. After he had thus performed his rites before the fire, the son of Kunti, beholding the daughter of the king of the Nagas, addressed her smilingly and said, O handsome girl, what an act of rashness thou hast done, O timid one, whose is this beautiful region, whose is this beautiful region, who art thou and whose daughter? Right? So even though she's done something pretty wild, he's still speaking very pleasantly, right? Because that's just the way you speak to the girls, right? Because girls will do things. Means if they do something wild or rash, it's due to emotion, right? It's not due to intellect. Does that make sense? Means you can get upset if someone has intellectually thought something out and done something, right? But if it's just happened out of emotion, out of rashness, it always is dealt with as a lesser problem. Does that make sense? So someone plans something, does something wrong, that's bad. If someone just is overwhelmed by emotion, does something, that's considered less bad. Right? Means the act is less bad. The position is less also. Right? Someone who can intellectually perform things is considered in a better position. Right? But because of that, therefore the reaction is greater. Someone who's more attached, more overwhelmed by the emotions, position is lower, but therefore then the reaction is lower. Does that make sense? No? So therefore, one should always speak nicely, no matter what the situation. Right? And then he wants to know where he is, who she is, and whose daughter, because then he can properly understand how he should behave. Right? Because up to now, he doesn't know. So since he doesn't know, he speaks nicely. He is respectful, because who knows who she might be. Hearing these words of Arjuna, Ulupi answered, There is a Naga of the name of Kauravya, born in the line of Airavata. I am, O prince, the daughter of that Kauravya, and my name is Ulupi. Who is Airavata?
The elephant.
One of the Nagas?
One of the Nagas. It means there is an elephant named Airavata, but he's one of the main Nagas, right? Along with Dhritarashtra and, Sesha is the foremost. Then you have Vasuki, Takshaka, Airavata, Dhritarashtra. These are all the big, the very, very big. Like Dhritarashtra, when he goes out for a walk, 28,000 Nagas go with him, right? These are the big ones. So he's in the line of Airavata. So for them, that would be very distinguished, right? It's like you're saying, son of, Kaurava coming from Kuru, or Yadava coming from Yadu, so they're, coming from Airavata. So that's this, amongst them, this is very prestigious. O tiger among men, beholding thee descending into the stream to perform thy oblations, I was deprived of reason by the god of desire. O sinless one, I am still unmarried, afflicted as I am by the god of desire on account of thee. O thou of Kuru's race, gratify me today by giving thyself up to me. Right. So here's the principle, is that girls are very, very careful about this, because the point is she's unmarried, and then who she becomes attracted to, then ideally that should be become the husband, right? So girls are very careful not to put themselves in a position that they'll just become attracted to anybody, or anybody can just become attracted to them, right? Does that make sense? This modern idea that girls should get out there, move around and all that, we see it doesn't really do them very good, right? Isn't it? Like that. So the point is that because of the nature of emotion and its natural flow, you want it to continue in that natural form. Otherwise, as it goes into obstacles, then it also, creates obstacles in the natural flow of emotion, right? So that's there. So that's why in the Vedic culture the women are protected. It's not because, it's something to harass the girls, it's so that the girl can actually remain as a girl and not have to be a boy to, emotionally go neurotic. Does that make sense? And I'm telling you, it's a lot better to be married to girls than to girls that have turned into boys. Like that. At the same time, is the girls should be very careful to marry boys, not boys, girls parading as boys. Arjuna replied, commanded by King Yudhishthira, O amiable one, I am undergoing the vow of brahmacharin for 12 years. I am not free to act in any way I like. Right? It means I'm not free. It means she's qualified, everything's fine, but he's not free to act without the consent of his elder brother. And his elder brother is commanding him to be a brahmachari for 12 years, therefore marriage at this point is not one of the options. Right? Do we know another occasion where Arjuna took permission from Yudhishthira before getting married?
Getting married to Subhadra Devi?
Yes. Before he kidnapped Subhadra, he first got Yudhishthira's permission. Right? Because one is just that's proper, and two, kidnapping the girl means war, so he had to have his brother's support before carrying out that activity. Okay. Right? But, O ranger of the waters, I am still willing to do thy pleasure if I can. I have never spoken an untruth in my life. Tell me, therefore, O Naga maid, how I may act so that, while doing thy pleasure, I may not be guilty of any untruth or breach of duty. So here he's saying, I can't do because of this rule, but if, you know, I'm not unfavorable, but if you know any way, does that make sense? In other words, because women are situated in Dharma, right? That's their platform of situation. So then, it being important to them, then they're also very clever. So they're going to follow the religious principles and get what they want. Does that make sense? Men have a tendency to follow the religious principles at the expense of what they want. But women are a little bit more clever than that. Right? So they make sure that they, you know, are religious, because religious will give you what they want and get what you want. So, you know, the cake and eat it, you know, that's the ladies are able. This, you can't have your cake and eat it, that's for the men. Right? The women, they have their cake, eat it, you know, and, you know, however, whatever else, you know, can happen. Okay? Right? Like that. Yeah. Does that make sense? In other words, on the spiritual platform, men are at an advantage. But on the material platform, men are just doing good to keep, you know, their head above water, right? that's as good as it gets. So here he's taking advice, right? It's not unmanly to not take advice in this area, right? Does that make sense? It's very important that these things are advice. Like we see the occasion of a Swayambhuva Manu taking advice, right? In this regard, on marriage. What was that? Anybody remembers? No? His marriage of his daughter, Devahuti, to Kardama Muni. Right? So he takes his wife and daughter because he's understood that this is a good match, but he wants to make sure that they're also satisfied. So he takes them along to see the boy. Right? See his situation, see his mood, everything like that, his devotion to the Lord. Then seeing that, they're all satisfied. Right? Does that make sense? So it's not unmanly to take advice. In this area, yes.
The Kshatriyas also have another code that they must please someone who takes shelter. A woman who wants to take shelter.
Yes, Kshatriyas will do, but it means they're qualified. Mm-hmm. They should be qualified because, as we see, means in other words, a qualified person who approaches them. Because we see that when Arjuna returned from Dwarka and he was very sad, that was one of the questions that Yudhishthir asked. Are you sad because you have, you know, made an alliance with an unqualified woman, you know, like that, who took shelter like that? So it still doesn't mean just anybody, it still means qualified. Like that. Like Nivedas, it's always, there's no question of an unqualified match, because unqualified match will give a mixed child, and then the mixed child won't know who they are, what to do. And so because of that, then they'll be in trouble, right? Someone knows what they do, they just do it. Someone doesn't know what they do, they just, you know, how you say, quibble, like that. And basically, in that quibbling, they have to involve everybody, you know, because they're trying to create an identity, they're insecure. So as many people as they can involve, as much, instability in others they can create, then the better they feel, right? Either they'll create their own identity by that, or they'll feel good that I'm unstable, everybody else is unstable. Like that. And this way then, they just are socially a disturbance. Like that. So that's why in the Vedas, that it always has to be qualified. It just means that here is that they might end up with more wives than planned, but they will all be qualified. Like that. Ulupi answered, I know, O son of Pandu, why thou wanderest over the earth, and why thou hast been commanded to lead the life of a brahmacharin by thy superior. Even this was the understanding to which all of you had been pledged, namely, that amongst you all, owning Draupadi's daughter as your common wife, he who would from ignorance enter the room where one of you would be sitting with her should lead the life of a brahmacharin in the woods for 12 years. So notice here, the is something she mentioned here that wasn't mentioned before. Mm. It's very important. What?
From ignorance.
So why would that be? Why would she point this out while the men didn't talk about it?
Because he
went in there knowing. Okay, so then that means he's not wrong. So from that aspect, so therefore, yes, if this person's going to be connected to you, they shouldn't be wrong, right? The husband's always right, right? Means publicly. So then, like didn't want to get any hopes up there. And but what's another aspect as far as dealings go in perspective? Right? No? So we have to go to Anton to get the perspective here or something? No? No? Okay. Ignorance means you're not conscious. You were going to say something? Yeah, without a good purpose. Okay, so out of ignorance it would be. But why would ignorance be something that's, you know, because you can just say if you enter the room, you're out. So why would ignorance be specifically brought up? Means that would be one aspect, but if we take that further. So what's the problem with ignorance?
Well, it's no sensitivity.
No sensitivity, right? And so women don't like that. The sensitivity is not there, one's ignorant. Therefore, she'll bring that up. The Pandavas just, you know, they had something. They walked in, okay, you're out. You know, it's just cut and dry. But here, because of ignorance, like that. So everything has to be conscious, like that. Does that make sense? Yeah? Yes.
What is sensitivity?
What is sensitivity? Sensitivity, well, it depends upon how you look at it. Let's find a generic one. Because, you know, sensitivity, yeah. Sensitive means that, you know, somebody well-intended said the wrong word or wrong tone of voice, and then you're grumpy for 3 days. You know, that's sensitivity, but, you know, let's find a more generic thing.
Perceiving.
Yeah, sensitivity would be, in this case, means you're aware of the situation, right? You know, you're aware of your surroundings, you're aware of the people, you're aware of the mood the people are in, so therefore you're aware of what would be the appropriate or proper way of dealing and behaving, right? And so if that is not done, then that is, how you say? It's a problem. Someone might bring up at this point, so what about this two-way street concept, right? You know? But if you notice that there's generally in big fancy roads, there's a boulevard down the middle, so you just worry about your own side of the street, right? So here is that because the man has to be sensitive to emotion, right? Does that make sense? The woman is emotion. Does that make sense? It doesn't make sense.
Huh? You always say, does make sense? So you're always conscious of the senses of the others. Yes. Yes. Sensitivo means the ones who puts his senses aware to about the senses of the others.
Others. Oh, okay. Okay.
The Latin.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's Latin. Okay. Very good. Very good.
You always said that, make sure that the other ones
are
okay.
It makes sense. Okay. Yeah.
He's sensitive.
Okay. So what doesn't make sense?
Emotion.
Ah, now you want emotion. Okay. This girl's getting technical today. Okay, emotion. See, it's because the man will be there, you know, that means everyone has a base, kind of where they function from. You know, like you have a home and then you go out from there, but you have an identity. So the male identity, that common base is the intellect, right? So from there they analyze everything because analyzation of things is then means it's the field of activities. And from that then you can get something done, right? So that's the mode of passion because the intelligence comes out of passion. Then the senses can be engaged, right? So that's why sometimes the men in engaging the senses can be very intellectually very, you know, how you say proper, or let's say
mechanical, like that. Like that. It means the euphemism is habitual, right? You know, that mechanical. So that's because that is the base. So if a man behaves like that, he's just being very male, like that. But then the feminine base is the mind, right? Which is the seat of emotions, which is coming from the mode of goodness. So that means that functions on being aware of the emotion. Does that make sense? The other one is analyzing the situation for engaging the senses. The other is being sensitive, means being aware of the emotion that is happening at the moment. Does that make sense? So these are the two bases of the two natures, right? So all these faces you're making and smiling is because you're impressed with the answers, or the smoke is bothering you? Because she sees it. Huh? So it's hard to tell what I should say next, you know. It's like, wow, she's very impressed. And then she goes like this, and she goes, oh, it's just the smoke. Does that make sense? Okay, so then what happens here is analyzing the situation then, but because you're dealing with the gross matter, the tendency is to go into the bodily consciousness, which is ignorance. But it's ignorance connected with intelligence, so it's very dry, right? While then from the feminine you start with emotion and then go into the ego or the ignorance, but it has some feeling with it. Does that make sense? So both are in ignorance, right? But the angle is different. So in this is that the mind has accepts and rejects. Right, the intelligence can tell the difference between something or the commonality. Right, so the one that can adjust is the intelligence. Right, so the intelligence then in that case, when you're dealing this way, adjusts with the mind. Right, if you're dealing with the proper things to do, the religious principles, and that, the mind adjusts with the intelligence because it has the options, and the mind then picks the best one based on a religious value. Right. But once it's picked, then the intelligence, then when working with the mind, then picks what are the best options for the mind. Does that make sense? In other words, a mind that has not chosen the proper path has to be guided by the intelligence, right? But the mind that's chosen the proper path, then the intelligence gives options within that. Does that make sense? You know, just like, let's say you have a minister or an advisor, Brahminical advisor to the king. Now they will give Shastric advice to the king, but that advice has to be in the realm of a king's duties, not a Brahmin's duties or a Vaishya's duties, right? Otherwise, it'll have no use to the king, right? So in the same way, the intelligence must give options that are useful to the mind. Does that make sense? So it will tell what's the difference between what is useful and not useful, or amongst how to connect something useful to the situation. You know what I'm saying? In other words, all these things are useless, these things are useful. Now how to connect those to the situation? So of these, what's the best one to connect? You understand? So that's technically what's going on when it's being the relationship between the intelligence and the mind is functioning properly. Does that work? Yeah? So that means the smoke's gone down, so now it's okay. Yeah, okay. Anything else? No? No. Draupadi has something to say. She's got her hand raised there. Okay. Yes.
Could you give an example of the mind life?
Can you give an example of?
In her life.
In
how that would work for her.
How sensitivity would work for you. Okay. It means positive or negative?
Positive.
Oh, don't want the negative. Huh? That one you already know. Right? Okay. Positive. Means the same principle is used, means, how you say? When you're dealing with another person, you know, let's say you're dealing with you know, someone else in your family. So therefore then you would be very, very careful of what's happening, right? Means you see what is the mood that, you know, the other family member is in, or if you're at the school, the other girls in the school, or the teachers, you see what mood they're in, and therefore you act appropriately, right? That, or, yeah, you just see what it is. You've come in on the situation, and there's a particular atmosphere that's there. You may be in a particular mood, but you have to see that when you come into there, that you're not disturbing that. Let's say you're very happy and everything, chirpy, you come into the room, everybody's very sober. So then you have to be very, very careful. If you become very, show that happiness, it may disturb everyone because there's some situation that's very important or, you know, emotional, so therefore they're like that. So you have to see what's the state, right? Or the opposite. You might see someone sad, so you be very happy, and that makes them happy, right? Or if you try that and it doesn't work, they become more unhappy, then you become sober. You understand? So use your intelligence to see what is the situation, what's to be done. Or you're there and then something happens, you know, everything's going very nice, someone says something and then everybody becomes upset, then you know, to be very careful. And does that make sense? So the idea is always work around the others. That's the easiest thing to do. The most straightforward, it will guarantee a relation, right? Because a relationship means somebody, work has to be done. So if you're working to maintain that relationship based on the other person, it always maintains. If you expect that, no, I'm the center, everyone's got to work for me, what is your leverage to make them work? Right? You don't really have any. Right? It means you can use the emotional, if it works, great, but if it doesn't work, then what's your leverage? Nothing. That's why it's better to work around someone else. Does that make sense? Okay. Yes.
Like doing an example, or perhaps that the fire, the skin is sensitive, and therefore if we touch fire, it becomes, it hurts. That's a negative sensitivity because it comes to the skin. And then we smell as a flower. It's pleasant, it's positive. And so because ultimately the senses give the impression to the mind. The mind is aware of these sensorial objects around us. Mm-hmm. Also words can be very pungent, very hurting, or can be very sweet. We can discriminate among those. And then in that package, because as you were explaining, all the process of the intellect, analyzing what is worse.
Yeah. That works. That's good. Okay.
But then this will be the interaction with things. They don't necessarily, we are aware of their senses, because a flower has no sense, the fire too. But when we deal with people, it's different.
It's the same principle. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of, because with the flower, still, it's, you want to do, you want to smell the flower, you still have to smell the correct side of it, right? You smell the stem side, huh? Yeah, you can't stick it in your ear. You can't smell the stem part. You have to, you know, hold it properly, get it to your nose properly, you know, that. Because it's delicate, you can't deal with it roughly, you can't pick it up strongly. So that it's still there. The principle is the same, though it's, there's, if you don't deal with it, the flower is not going to complain. It may fall apart. You may get no smell out of it, but it won't complain. But if it's sentient, then it will.
The flower you can smell without her permission, but if you're very sensitive, you have to know when to smell.
Mm-hmm.
But then a person, we have to use our senses, knowing if they are okay with it.
Yeah.
Or just enjoy the senses.
Mm-hmm.
Performance of activity, How do we discern if the mind is in control or the intelligence?
The mind is control or the intelligence. The mind is going, what should I accept or what should I reject? The intelligence is going, depending upon what principle that you're or perspective you're looking from, it will tell you what's the different options that are there. Like either what's the difference between things or what is the commonality. Does that make sense? You know, that's how you tell the difference. The intelligence is always giving options. The mind is always accepting or rejecting, like that. You know, so on intelligence, the intelligence may say this is the better option because this is the perspective that we're looking at it from. But the mind may have a different perspective, and so therefore, from that different perspective, it's not necessarily that's not a good option. Right, because the perspective is this, therefore these options that you're giving aren't useful. Right, and the intelligence is saying no. From the options that are here, this is the best. Therefore, your position that you're accepting and rejecting from your perspective is wrong. So that's generally the difficulty: is the either not knowing what are the options or not knowing which perspective to take. So generally when you sit around and have all these arguments in your head, this is what's going on. So if you can't tell, discern which is the mind, which is the intelligence, and then break it down and then analyze it from there. In other words, through intelligence you can move it forward. Is that okay?
Why the mind is in goodness? And
why is it in goodness? Because it was produced from goodness. It came from the mode of goodness. Because the mind is experiences. So experience comes from the mode of goodness. Right? While the intelligence comes from the passion, because it's through the senses are there, it gets things done. Right? Does that make sense? Right? But, I mean, if you want to take that further, this is always the thing, to take it a step further. The false ego, which is higher than the intelligence, comes from the mode of ignorance. Right? Because actually if you look at it, then what is it? Then it means in the reflection, then you have your existence first, right? So that then reflects here's ignorance. That's your ego. Then you perform actions based on that ignorance, you know, which is the intelligence, which is a reflection, the chit or the, you know, abhideya. Then it goes into, then the mind experiences it, that's your ananda. You understand? So it's still in the proper order. It's just that when it reflects here, it becomes, you know, worse, that's all. Does that make sense? Yeah. Like that, because it's a reflection. It's this way, and then you reflect it in the water, then it looks this way. Right? The tree here is upside down. Right? By looking, if you look at something, they put these glasses on people, it'll turn it upside down, and after a while then the mind will turn it right side up. So that's how we see it. We think it's right side up, but it's upside down. The exile of anyone amongst you, therefore, is only for the sake of Draupadi, right? In other words, her thing is it's ignorant why you walked in on this. It disturbs her, right? Thou art but observing the duty arising from that vow. Thy virtue cannot sustain any diminution by assenting to my solicitation. Then again, O thou of the large eyes, it is a duty to relieve the distressed. Thy virtue suffereth not diminution by relieving me. Or if by this act, O Arjuna, thy virtue doth suffer a small diminution, thou wilt acquire great merit by saving my life. Know me for thy worshipper, O Partha. Therefore yield thyself up to me. Even this, O Lord, is the opinion of the wise. Right? So she's saying, you surrender to me, and she uses the word, O Lord. You understand? So these things are happening simultaneously, right? That's the whole point. If you ever want to make sense out of it, that's the first principle not to bother with, right?
means it's the way it is. You can understand that this is the way it is and this is the way it works. You can never understand why it's like that. You understand? It's just the way it is. Prabhupada said, man will never understand woman, woman will never understand man. Don't try. You can understand how it works, but you can't understand why. Right? Don't bother. Right? Yes?
It could be that this descent from Krishna trying to understand Radharani, that's why he...
Yeah, yeah. Like that. It's just different. Means the dependent can never understand the concept of independence. And the independent can't understand the pleasure that is gained by the dependent. So therefore, it's like that. It'll always be like that. So she's saying here is that this exile, this vow of brahmachari, is only in connection with Draupadi, right? It's got nothing to do with anybody else. You've taken this vow because you've gotten in the room with Draupadi, so you're celibate with Draupadi. You can't be with Draupadi for 12 years. But it's not a rule that you can't be with someone else, right? Right? That's her logic. See, that's why he asked her, right? She could know those, you know, loopholes better than... Okay, so then, then he's saying is that, and besides that, then your virtue won't suffer because you're following the rule of giving shelter to someone who surrenders. And even if you say... Someone says that some loss of virtue is there in this act, but at the same time, because you've saved a life, then that will counter that. Saving a life is more important than this small loss in virtue. Does that make sense? So these are the various arguments she's using. So it's not just one, she's using from many angles, right? And not just the same angle, from different perspectives, so that, you know, you get it becomes a very strong position. Does that make sense? So when you give examples of suffering, you want to establish, you give from one side, then give from something quite different. Otherwise, they'll say it's the same thing. Does that make sense? You know, you can't say, yeah, okay. I seek thy shelter, O best of men. Thou protectest always, O son of Kunti, the afflicted and the masterless. I seek thy protection, right? Because protection is the central point of a kshatriya, right? So that's why this rule is for them. It's because of protection, not for sense gratification. Some think that, oh no, the kings can do all this because of sense gratification. It's not sense gratification, it's protection, right? Because in this is that then you have a duty, right? These others' ideas, oh, then they can just be with the women. Oh, they can drink, they can carouse with the women, they can do this. That's kshatriyas, right? Quote unquote. Like that. That's not kshatriya. Kshatriya is give protection. Protection means he's going to take care of her. Like that. Does that make sense? That's the point. It's not a matter of this others. Oh, we can be with the women. No, it's not. You can't be with the women. Means you can protect. Kings have more stuff, more facility, therefore they can have more wives. Right? And that, because protection is their business, so therefore then it matches with that. Right?
And offsprings
will
also protect.
Yes, offsprings will also protect.
Like adult cards.
I seek thy protection, weeping in woe, weeping in sorrow. I woo thee, being filled with desire. Therefore do what is agreeable to me. It behooveth thee to gratify my wish by wielding thyself up to me. Vaishampayana said, thus addressed by the daughter of the king of the Nagas, the son of Kunti did everything she desired, making virtue his motive. The mighty Arjuna, spending the night in the mansion of the Naga, rose with the sun in the morning. Accompanied by Ulupi, he came back from the palace of Kauravya to the region where the Ganges entereth the plains. The chaste Ulupi, taking her leave there, returned to her own abode. O Bharata, she granted unto Arjuna a boon, making him invincible in water, saying, every amphibious creature shall, without doubt, be vanquishable by thee. So it's because here it mentions that her chastity, because she was a maiden before, and then Arjuna now becomes her husband, and she being chaste, then that chastity then protects. Right, that's very powerful. The chastity of women is what protects men.
like that. So it's very important. So that's why it's not also worthwhile becoming associated with an unchaste girl, because you'll get no protection from it, right? But a chaste girl, you'll always be protected. Here also we see is that did everything, everything she desired means, in other words, his interaction was what will make her happy, right? Because the things that make women happy will make men happy, right? But the way to do it is you make yourself happy by making someone else's happy, right? What's this basis? What is this one of the pillars of human existence? What is defined as this?
Sacrifice.
Yes, right? So we can see his human life, even down to this level of, you know, husband and wife interaction, is still to establish the same principle of sacrifice. That's the point of the Vedic culture. There is no other reason for it other than to develop that sense of sacrifice and service to the Supreme Lord. Right? But because we don't identify with the Lord, we identify with these lower elements. The only way you can be successful in dealing with them is the same principle. And then all you're doing is switching who is that person, right? Or, you know, making it Krishna. Like in yoga, you're fixing the mind. All you're doing is fixing the mind, nothing spiritual at all. Once it's fixed, right, in dharana, then you bring in Krishna. Does that make sense? So the point is fixing the mind on service to others, sacrifice, austerity, being performance of your prescribed duties, shankha, using your intelligence to properly understand the situation. Then that yoga, that interaction will be good, because it's properly done on religious principles with the intelligence, with the purpose of sacrificing for the other, vairagya, that it's the result is for the other person. Does that make sense? Right, because if your goal, if it's already vairagya, then it will be good. You're already working at the other person's goal. The result is for the other person. Therefore, as you work back, then as it says here, Arjuna, virtue is his motive, then everything will work nicely. If virtue is the motive, then your action will be good. Your identity will be good. Right? The sambandha and abhideya will be good if your prayojana is proper. Does that make sense? Like that. So then, anything else? And here, so then, now Arjuna will come back and we'll hear what happened after his return.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
So it's dealt with the lawyers and it's the whole fight.
Oh.
And it will be transformed, maybe already done, but today or tomorrow or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Catherine was very aggressive when she really fight with her. Because it was the whole fight.
Oh, okay. I mean, so he was trying to keep it or something?
Yeah, somehow or other, you know, I can't understand, you know. But yeah, ultimately, then you know, we use certain pressures.
Okay.
Okay.
How much?
18.
Oh, okay. Thank you. It's very nice. So we've had that before, is it? Tamal Krishnamurti, his personal library, in his will, it was to come to us.
Yeah.
Then other disciples decided what we're going to do with it and have kept it. So,
yeah.
I haven't fought for it yet because we're doing more Elmira's than that for, you know, so we can put in Sahotamars' book, and it'll also leave a little room for his. And then once we have that Elmira, then I'll bring it up and try to get that library.
So I'm just saying it's not an uncommon thing that, you know, sometimes disciples decide that they have a better idea of what to do with the things than what the Guru Maharaj thought. You know.
It was different steps, you know. It was more like, but, ultimately, the good thing is now that, because now it's like an official paper, so it's an official paper, so then which they gave us a donation.
Okay.
So then anybody can listen. You
know, okay. Okay. Very good. Very good. Thank you very much. That'll help a lot.
Thank you so much. I want to beg your forgiveness for my foolishness at the beginning of class. I wrote an asterisk at the top of the page, and actually, we was actually already on to 216 after that paragraph. So, please forgive my.
No, it's okay.
I'm very good.
I'm saying, at least you are. You know, being enthusiastic.
Yes.
One question is there.
Yeah.
Means, I'm not sure if it's just resilience or lack of awareness.
Okay, on my part.
No, not yours, okay. Of your son's.
Oh, yeah.
No, no, not that. It means he can break bones and not know he's broken them. Is that just he's tough or he's not aware, or a combination of both, or?
Well, my kids never really complained so much. Like, right around, he was coughing up blood for a month a year ago before telling me. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going, Harry Bob, you have to tell me, then I can deal with it.
Okay, no, because it's.
And so I think, because, like, I was away when he did the arm.
Yeah, because it's very important, because.
He said to someone.
Yeah, he's telling people that, you know, we broke it. Well.
No, he's not saying.
No, but we got a rumor coming around back through the community that he was telling people that he was just there and then. Guys were doing, you know, full body, you know, slams on him and stuff like that. It was two guys, him and another guy, are wrestling. They're having fun and joking the whole time, and then later you find out that he broke his shoulder. You know,
I mean,
Bandit
did body slamming.
Yeah, but that was part of what's going on there. That would be like saying in the martial arts class you got punched, or you know,
we were taking a bath and he poured a bucket of water. That's what I'm saying.